Welcome back. This half hour of the show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have a multitude of insurance needs, and Purdy Insurance handles them all. So, A, you're fully insured, and B, they save you money. Sometimes it may be bundles. Sometimes it may be in the ability to go across state lines. But they do everything they can to save you money, but also make sure that you're fully insured. They're great pros. Great people, great pros at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are 6 days away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Let me recalibrate that for you. We are 13 days away. 13 days away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Wednesday, August 7th. At the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. So you got 13 days, get your team in there. All right, let's talk to Neil Coulong. Sir, in the world of common sense, you're the one that brings it to the table. Welcome.
There is nothing common about common sense, as you know, but it is still a great day and a great one to be here talking with you fine gentlemen.
Yes, so let's start with this. And that is the fact that they're having relatively serious talks now between the Players Association and the office in New York about going to 18 games. It's something you and I have talked about before. Your thoughts on the fact that it's serious at this stage?
I think this was telegraphed a while ago. They wanted 18, depending what side of the fence you're on. I think you can make the argument very simply that 18 is better than 17 in the owner's mind. Mm-hmm. They could get one out of it last time. I think each side can represent a reason to have agreed on 17 instead of pushed or argued against 18. In that it sets something up for next time. In a collective bargaining situation, everything is quid pro quo. What can I get for this? Each side is bargaining. I think if the players were really against the idea of 18 games, they would probably have dug in a bit harder on 17. What can they get for an 18th game is the right question to ask as far as their leadership is concerned. So are you going to get a bigger cut of revenue because of this? That's very possible. Are there other concessions that we can get because of this? Can we lump this in with a bunch of other things? I'm not inside the union's war room discussing all this, but they probably have a laundry list of things that they want in exchange for that game. There will be a much more spirited discussion surrounding the inclusion of that 18th game. But I do think both sides are aware of the fact that that's where this is going to go. It's just a question of what the price is. That's what they're discussing now. In the last CBA, this might not even be a CBA issue, to be honest. They don't need the CBA to determine that. It really just kind of comes down to how they want to define it for the short term. You know, I don't know if this is a next year thing or not, but they're going to get together. They're going to meet, go over it. I'm pretty sure everyone kind of saw the direction the wind was blowing and knew they were going to add this other game. So what can the players get in the short term for this, and what is it going to set up in terms of the next CBA? Because to be honest, I think the players would like to have this be the topic of conversation for the next CBA, delay it a little bit, and be able to lump in more things that have to be done via collective bargaining, as opposed to now, I'm forgetting what the term of it is, but something that's done inside the CBA, they can negotiate, discuss it. There are other, value adds the players can get beyond just revenue, although revenue is, you know, usually going to be the cornerstone of it all.
Let's get to the Joe Burrow thought, and that is two bye weeks during an 18-game schedule. What would your thought be on that?
Yeah, I think that's a good one for them to pitch. I think that makes sense.
I
can see the value to it. I think we enter into territory of 16 of 18 games, 20 weeks of the regular season, and then playoffs. I think you're probably risking fatigue a little bit. But I do think there's a trade-off in there if you want to discuss safety, health. It gives probably the NFL more opportunity to expand into Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every other day they're not playing. There's more that they could do with that. I've said this often, and this is just kind of a dumb point to make, I know, but I feel for the schedule makers. I don't know how they keep all this stuff together. I don't know how logistically they piece it all together, but I do think a second bye week opens things up from the owner's perspective. It probably would mean more international games, just because you've got that extra week that they can come back from. I think it makes sense. You know, I could see the owners being okay with that. Fans on the surface will probably complain. By and large, though, I don't think it's anything that people can't just kind of get used to. And, you know, enjoy it for what it is. It lasts a little bit longer. Some years that's better, some years that's worse, I'm sure. But it makes sense. I definitely think that's a part of it. I would hope the union, in including Burrow's proposal, would add more to it. I think it's a costly piece of, you know, negotiating leverage. I'd hope they get a little bit more out of it. I'm sure that they will.
In fact, I believe this happens to be a year where the college football schedule sets up in terms of bye weeks between Labor Day weekend and Thanksgiving weekend. So that's why there's always one. Well, there's always a time where there's two. Well, this is two this year in college football because Labor Day to Thanksgiving weekend's 14 Saturdays. I've been advocating that college football, especially with the expanded playoff, needs to go to two as well. I mean, I've been advocating for that. Just make two permanent. Now I'm going to ask the big question, which is just a pure guessing game. From the fans' interest point of view, how many is too many?
Such a great question. Let me give you the digital content perspective.
Okay. Yeah.
You get used to certain trends, traffic peaks at certain times. What I've noticed over two decades of staring myself blind at spreadsheets and Google Analytics, there is a point where it drops around late October.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm saying this generally, not the election year, you know, significant drop I'm sure I'm going to see come late October this year. Typically, it seems like that sort of wears out. The novelty is kind of off. Others, you know, you might argue more natural or sociological issues that come with that. Late October in the areas that we're from, not always the nicest to be outside. You know, a lot less daylight. It's a bit more bleak and gray. Your interest in a lot of things kind of wanes down. You know, if your team is, you know, 2-5 going into October, you're not going to be as interested as you were in week one. So from that perspective, anything beyond that to rally the interest of the fan base beyond just the game itself, because, you know, they'll gripe about it, not be content, yell for everybody to be fired, but come kickoff, they're excited, you know. Right. Just the window of excitement shrinks considerably if your team isn't good as the season goes on.
Right.
Right.
Where it really lights up again is December. Mm-hmm. Now, on one hand, November tends to not be great because you have a holiday in there. Thanksgiving is not a great digital holiday, as odd as it seems. People aren't really checking into these things all that much. It's really kind of, you know where it is. It's the middle of the week. Your game's after all the stuff. So you lose a couple days in there. You see that impact in traffic. Come December, what you're really looking at is, you know, the great concentration of the regular seasons into the postseasons of the NFL and college. And what that means is you're hitting on the draft market. People that have a terrible team are now looking at who's a top five pick. Some of them are playing in bowl games. You know, you get a look at that. They're off, so you're talking, you know, college writers are talking more about the individual players anyway, what their futures are like, who's leaving, transfer portal stuff now. A lot of that comes up in December. And in some cases, you're even closer to firing that NFL head coach, mm-hmm. or you actually do it. Those are big traffic moments. A lot, you know, the commonality in all that is the change. You know, where is it going? Why is it going to get better? To me, those are not, they're game adjacent. They're not game specific, though. So the question of how many games from a digital content perspective is less important than the general buzz that comes with it. The NFL is a large soap opera. You know, people don't really like to call it that, but I can assure you the product off the field is worth a lot more than the product on the field is. Mm-hmm. People watch the games. They're into that, but they really follow the storylines that play into it all. Coaches getting fired, maybe getting fired. Coaches becoming available, maybe becoming available. Add that into the transfer portal stuff. College coaches getting fired. All these things are linked together. And December is a big, big month because of that. So you're adding on games into January, and maybe that buzz goes into January instead of more into December. So I don't think 18 is too much for that. I think by the time February comes along, you've got kind of that groundhog feel. It's like, okay, this is still going to go on for however long. I could see the fatigue setting in at, you know, above 18. People are going to gripe about 18 as if it's too much. I think they're still going to be drawn into it as long as there's not too much of a gap between the end of college and the end of the regular season in the NFL. But that's definitely something to watch. I think that's going to be really interesting just to see how audiences react, not just two extra games, but the build-up to it, that exciting time of the year that they're used to in December. Can you get that in January? January is not a real warm month in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how people will respond to that.
Because when they went to 17, I didn't think it was any big deal in terms of how I'd feel about it. And I remember as the season was going, I kept thinking, man, this is really a long season. I mean, even I started, I mean, it was just an addition of one game. That's why I think it's an important question.
Yeah, I definitely think there is a market of people that are going to say too much is too much. And I would say the effect that you're describing is more like not that the ending is at a certain point, but there's more time to go.
Yeah.
And to me, on the downside of it, what you look at is the biggest advantage, in my opinion, the NFL has over other sports is the finality of every game. I have no clue who anybody in professional baseball is playing tonight.
Right.
But what I know is nobody is going to look back at this game as the point of victory or defeat come October.
Mm-hmm.
The games are, by and large, I don't want to say meaningless, but they're not important. We're used to it. You know, it's the cycle. It's the everyday thing. Football, world stops for your one game.
Yeah.
We've noticed this. We've talked about it in this segment a bunch over the years, is how, you know, to be blunt, terrible some teams look in week one.
Yes.
You know, maybe that carries into week two, because now this is becoming more of a marathon than a sprint. So maybe the question is not so much the audience. Maybe it's on the field, how they're being managed, how they're being coached. They got to last a bit longer. Yes, and you're going to take on, say, an additional 200 snaps a year, but more, you got to slow down a little bit. We can't run this like a 400 meter anymore. Now this is an 800 meter. We're going to pace ourselves a little bit more and try to sustain more speed for a little bit longer. Especially considering these things happened in this generation of the game. There are players that used to play in 16 games. I mean, how old are we?
Right,
you know,
right.
Back in my day when they only played 16 games,
right.
We're at that point. You know, it was kind of a stretch ago. And the older players have that experience. You know, they'll be probably out by the time they get 18 games. But I think we're going to see a difference, especially early in the year when the excitement is the highest for the most amount of teams. It wouldn't surprise me if they come out of the gate, you know, pretty light. Good teams winning 18 games of the year is really, really hard to do. So in that way, they devalue the regular season a little bit more. I don't know if it could really go any higher than that. I do think they want to push it and own as much of the market as they can. But law of diminishing returns is going to come into effect here pretty quick. And I just think it's more the product on the field as opposed to people watching it.
Right. Rob Manfred was just at Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he's an attorney. And to the people I talked with there, they said he kind of got up there and was just matter-of-fact about things, didn't act like he wanted to be there. That was their impression of it. I didn't see it myself. And I sat back and it made me wonder. I know the commissioner has to advocate for the owners. I understand that, which, by the way, of course, includes TV contracts and the like. Who advocates for the fans? Who sits down in a room and says, hey, can everybody hold on a second? Can we talk about what's best for the fans here? Who does that?
I think that the easy answer would be the fans do. They bought fewer tickets and watched fewer games.
Right.
You might think about trying to engage them again. I think baseball, ironically, because I agree with the general point that you're making, but baseball, ironically, is the game that has incorporated the most recently out of the idea of the fans. I think that the pitch clock in baseball is long overdue.
Right.
It's something that has made it better. There are other, you know, interests as far as the shift goes, eliminating, you know, pitching to intentional walks. Those kinds of things were done with the fan in mind. It speeds it up. And, I don't want to act like speeding the game up is the only end-all concern that they have. But it has a significant impact. If you watch a game, it's just so much more enjoyable to see something with a flow. And I understand the history of baseball largely dictates that you don't change anything. They haven't liked change. They've been most resistant to change of any sport. Most established one, that makes sense. But to the degree that they have gone recently to act with, I think, the fan in mind, should be replicated with other sports, because that doesn't exist. The NFL, some conspiracy theorists among us, myself included, might say fines and suspensions are largely driven by crowdsourced reactions coming from the league more than they are any type of independent judgment. What I mean by that is, guarantee, week one, if there is a controversial hit of some type that's pretty prominently shown around everything, people are all weighing in on it, you will see a prominent reporter tweet out, the league is considering a suspension for whoever, whatever it was. I don't even know what that means. Did Adam Schefter call him and say, hey, are you guys thinking about suspending this guy? Yeah, we're thinking about it. at what point do they meet and decide, we're going to consider a suspension, but not actually rule on a suspension? Why would you even do that? So in my mind, they use the fans' reaction to help determine whether or not the player should be suspended or whatever, or just fined. So in kind of a paranoid, delusional way, people like me might think that the NFL seeks the opinions of the fans by, kind of teasing news out there and seeing how people react to it. If the reaction is very favorable overall that, the player should be suspended, they'll suspend him. If not, they won't. I think they do take the fans into account when it comes to that. At the same time, as you know full well, within the NFL, fan reaction to things like blown non-pass interference calls in a playoff game leads to an entire rule change in which now they can review pass interference calls. Right. And what I think history will bear out is one of the stupidest, short-sighted decisions
that
the NFL has ever made. The fans absolutely have weight in those types of things, just not in a formal way, not in an official way.
Always a pleasure. We never discuss where we're going to go with it, because I know I can ask him anything, and the flow is tremendous. Thank you so much, Neil. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, just 13 days away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.